First Chronicles 12 and verse 23. These are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed for the war and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. Verse 27. And Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. Chapter 11 and verse 20. Bishai, the brother of Joab, he was chief of the three. For lifting up his spear against 300, he slew them and had a name among the three. Of the three, he was more honorable than the two, for he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not to the first three. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high, and in the Egyptian's hand was a spear, like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighties. Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. 1 Kings chapter 1. Verse 5, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he repaired in chariots and horsemen, 50 men, to run before him. And his father, that is David, had been displeased with him at any time in saying, Why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed Adonijah and helped him. But Zadok, priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep, an oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Jehaleth, which is in Rogue Hill, and called all his brethren, the king's son, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants, with Nathan, the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men of Solomon, his brother, he called not. Now there's much more in this chapter that could be read, and we'll not take the time to read it. What I have before me is a little exercise for the last while in regards to especially some of our young brethren in the assemblies that we have around here in the Vancouver area. We are very thankful to the Lord for them and for their exercise, and I thought I would like to give a little word to encourage them, but I believe that they need to be encouraged to seek to be a help in the things of God. I can look back to a number of years ago, as a young man, they were brethren in the assembly here in Cedar Cottage it was then, that took an interest in me, they encouraged me, they helped me, was in their home a good deal, visited with them, even visited around amongst those that are aged and infirm. And when it come to a time of going to Venezuela, I must say that it was my elder brother that encouraged me to make that step. So we have here something that I would like to leave with those that are younger. In regards to a man, I'm not too sure of his age, but he was an Aaronite. He was from Jehoiada, who was a leader of the Aaronites, who had with him 3,700 men. Now he had this son Benaiah, as we see here in chapter 11. Benaiah was a valiant man. He was a man that had a love for David. David, you remember how at the time after he slew Goliath, and he was seen amongst the saints of God, he behaved himself wisely. Behaved himself wisely. He walked in a way that was pleasing to the Lord, and as the saints beheld how he walked, they were thankful for it. He was not puffed up, and when they sang his praises, we see that he walked on an even keel. He behaved himself wisely. When he was passed through discouragements, and many a time, young brethren, yet to be discouraged and be get cast down. I had a Sunday school teacher that would be remembered by some of the older ones here, Mr. George Taylor. After we were saved, he still continued on with a class of young men, and used to tell us, he said, you know, John, you go down to the street maybe, and you have a good preach, and you couldn't buy a hat big enough to put on your head. But he said, the next time you go down, the whole thing falls flat, and you can't get anything at all, because, why, the preacher's just taken out of it. But he would encourage us. Now, there's some things in regards to this man, Benaiah, that I would like to notice. It says in here, verse 22, Benaiah was a son of Jehoiada, who was the leader amongst the Aramites. He was a godly man. He was a priest. He was a man that was a leader amongst the saints of God. Jehoiada, here, we read of him, he was a valiant man. He was a man that was willing to stand up for the things of God. In verse 22, we see that he slew two lion-like men, and then he slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day, and he slew an Egyptian. And these, figuratively, speak to us of the three enemies which we have as we journey heavenward at home. We have here two lion-like men of Moab, which to us of the flesh. And there are many, many things that attract the flesh that we are to continually to fight against. And then, brethren, especially, we would like to encourage you to flee from all that which is of the flesh. That which would please the flesh. That which is not pleasing in the sight of God. Then we read that he slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. He would need to be a valiant man to do a thing like that. And this lion here could well speak to us of Satan, a cruel enemy who will destroy. How often we have seen young Christians that have got caught up in a simple thing and has led some to outside of the assembly. Why? Because they got tripped up by the enemy of souls, by the devil himself. And then, of course, we have, he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, which was tremendous of the world. We have these three enemies. They continually fight against us. You know, one would think when one was younger, when I get a little older, I won't have any trouble with these things. But you know, the older we get, The more the struggle is. The world may not be, the world may not have an attraction for those that are older, but there's the things of the flesh and the things how the devil will seek to trip us up. But this man, Benaiah, he was a man of God. He was a man here, it says in verse 25, that he was honorable. He was a man that could be trusted. He was a man that walked before God. He was a man that walked well pleasing unto the Lord. And we see here how that God honored him. And although it says he was amongst the three, first of all we read how the Abishai, the brother of Joab, was chief of the three, lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and all the like of this. But you know, Benaiah, he was quite content to be amongst the 30 men of David. Those men that had come to Hebron, as we see in chapter 12, they'd come to Hebron. What did they go to Hebron for? To make David king. To make David king. And we'll see here how that Benaiah had done this. He was amongst those that had come to Hebron, which is the place of fellowship. He had come to make David king. He had appreciation for David, who was the king at the time. But mind you, he was king in his rejection. There he was in an outside place. A place that was despised. A place that was despised. I remember years ago, we put up a portable hall in a place called Valera. We were having good meetings. In fact, the meetings were that good, we had to take up one side and swing it out, put holes under it to hold it up to make room, so people would at least be under a shade. Meetings were good. Meetings were encouraging. So we kept on. We come in contact with a couple of Christians that belonged to a nearby congregation. And they came along to the meetings. We had met them two or three times on the street. And they asked where we went, and we told them. And they came along. And we come to them regularly. Finally, one day they asked for fellowship when they were receiving the fellowship. One day they met the pastor on the street of Valera, and he said to them, "I haven't seen you for a while. Where do you go?" "Oh," they said, "we go to the Gospel Hall." "Well, which?" "The Gospel Hall. Where's that?" "Up on the road that goes to, up there towards the north. "Oh, you mean that tin hut?" "Well," they say, "that may be a tin hut, but they have the Word of God." Young brethren, what is needed is to lay hold upon the Word of God, to seek to trust in the Lord Himself, to seek to be faithful to Him. And Benaiah leaves us an example of one who was faithful to David in the time of his rejection. Today is the day of the Lord's rejection. The Lord is now rejected. And by the world disowned. We were hearing yesterday about the thing in regards to politics, how that our brother Bert Joyce said, you know, he said, "My man is already in power." Many a time I have said that, especially in Venezuela, as they would sort of impose upon you to vote for this party or for that party. But you know, our man is in power. And not only that, we realize and we know that God is able to put into authority that which He chooses, that which He wishes. So Benaiah, he was faithful, he was an honorable man, he was a man that had control of the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is a continual warfare, and we need to seek to honor the Lord, and by doing so, we will find that the Lord will help us, encourage us to go on for Himself. Now coming to 1 Kings chapter 1, we have another experience. We have Benaiah in the time of Solomon. And I believe that in the first one, we see Benaiah was faithful to David in the time of his rejection. And in regards to Solomon, Benaiah was faithful to the Lord, or to Solomon, in the time of his exaltation. This is the time of the Lord's rejection, the time that he is despised by the world. Yet this morning we had the privilege of gathering to remember him, to remember the one who remembered us when we were in our sins and far from God. What a privilege that we have to remember him. The assembly. gather to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, outside of all the sects and systems of men, gathered out to himself, bearing a witness and a testimony to himself. Angels looking upon and to see the saints of God gathered there to remember the Lord in accordance to his word. And so we see here that there was a time. It was David's purpose that Solomon should be on the throne. But Adonijah, he sought to usurp the kingdom at this time. He went to Joab. Joab was the great man. Joab was the leader of the army. But you know, Joab was not a spiritual man. Joab was not a spiritual man. Joab was a man that was envious. Joab was a man that did not care for David, only for what he was able to get. So we see, and there was that, there was Zeruiah, and there was Abiathar the priest, and these were following Adonijah. Solomon was being set aside. But we see how that there were those that were with him. There was Nathan, the prophet. There was Benai. And there was the mighty men, Solomon. And here we see how they came and they named Solomon king. And we see how that Solomon, as he began to reign, these men, Joab, finally, Benai was sent to take Joab and to slay him. Why? He was a man that hated David. So we see, especially for those that are young, we should have that appreciation for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only for what he has done, but especially for what he is. Oh, what a privilege this morning as we gathered there. We were not occupied with the emblems, but occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. A young man today, to be occupied with Christ will wean us from all that is of this poor ungodly world. So the psalmist says, my soul is even as a weaned child, weaned from the things of time and sense, weaned to seek to live to please the Lord, weaned to read the Word of God, to feed our souls upon the Word of God, to get more and more about the One who has done so much for us. With the result, the Nai was rewarded. Joe was disposed. And the Nai became the leader of the host. I was thinking of others that we have in the scriptures. I was thinking of Tychicus. We read of Tychicus in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul speaks of him, Tychicus, a beloved and faithful brother. And oh, the wonderful thing, I have brethren that you can say they're beloved. And they're faithful. Years ago in this city, there was a man, Mr. John Ray, possibly known by some of those that are older. He was like a father to me. One day, there was a certain man came into the store that my father had on Main Street. And he saw some texts hanging up on the wall. He said to my father, are you a Christian? Yes, he said, I'm a Christian. Well, he said, I don't have much use for religion. But he says, if there's one godly man, or if there's one man that's a real Christian in this city of Vancouver, it's Mr. John Ray. He had dealings with him. He was a very humble man. He was a good tailor. He had a good tailor shop in downtown Vancouver. But he was a man that was a real help here in the assembly. He was a man that took interest in those that were young. He was a man As I say, that was a real father to me in the things of God. And you know, we have good brethren today. We're thankful for it. But I believe there's a need in the day in which we live to seek to help young men to lay hold upon the scriptures, to lay hold upon the person of Christ, to seek to live for him, to live to honor him, and to live and to walk in a way that is pleasing to himself. Time is short. Time is short. Sometimes some people ask me, how long were you in Venezuela? Well, I said I was there for 45 years, but it's not very long, and the time has just flown by. Oh, that's a long time. That's a whole lifetime. No, brethren, it's a short time. And young brethren, life is short. Life is short. And that which we can do for Christ, we'll have its reward in the coming day. Then Ai was a faithful and an honorable man. He honored the Lord, and we see he was faithful to David. He was faithful to Solomon. And we see how he was well rewarded. Tychicus, Paul had a great appreciation for that dear brother. He says, a beloved and a faithful brother. Quite likely, when Paul was in jail, he sought him out. He sought to help him in any way he could. He would visit him. He would take word of how he was to the saints. Paul appreciated, and we see he said, Tychicus, a beloved and a faithful brother. We don't read very much more about him. We read about him in Titus, where he was sent on a mission. Whatever the mission was, I don't know. But he was sent on a mission, and we see he was used of God and had a great encouragement to the Apostle Paul. What a privilege to be a help to others of the people of God. Young men, we would encourage you to seek to go on for God and to seek a path that is pleasing to him until he comes to take us all home to be forever with himself. What a glorious day that will be when we shall see him and be with him and like him, and we'll feel the way out of the way was though rough, has been well pleasing unto the Lord. Like the story that we used to learn when we were at school about one of the kings of England. It was a time when the crusaders used to go down to Palestine or down to Jerusalem to fight the holy wars, as they called them. One time they were coming back by ship and they ran into a storm. Ships were all blown up in Italy and destroyed. And so they had a walk. So these ragged sailors and the leader, king, they walked through Italy, walked into France, I suppose a part of Germany, finally got to the coast of Normandy, and there the king of France took them prisoners. The king was put in prison with balls and chains and all the rest of it, and made to suffer, and they said that they would have to pay a large ransom to get him out of jail. But those in England heard about it, and instead of sending a ransom for them, they sent an army. And they soon were able to defeat the French, and they were able to release him. So the King of France come along and he says, well, he says, we're going to release you, but we want to pay you something for what you have suffered. Well, and they said, what we are going to offer you is we're going to weigh all the chains that you had and the balls of iron and all the like of that, and we're going to give you the weight of it in gold. How would you like that? Oh, he said, it's too bad it'd only been twice as heavy. Well, we see how that he was freed from that, but he could look back on what he had suffered and what he had received. And although at times I know that there's a little bit of suffering for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, but it's worth it. It's well worth it. The Lord says, they that honor me, I will honor. May we have this desire, the little while we're left here below, to seek to honor the Lord until that day when we shall see him face to face.